Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, baby, bro. Must be a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher to my left.
Let's go.
I had a wonderful conversation with Isaac as he was leaving. You know, I like that guy.
He'll do.
You know, I think he does an average job, which is all we ask for.
I wonder how he did as a bartender back in his day, though.
You know, I bet you he was better as a bartender than he is as
Did he smile and he did the shake?
As a broadcaster. And I'll tell you what, I know I was just like poking fun and having some laughs there, but Isaac is the best in the area at what he does.
Period. Well, I mean, you ever caught that Sunday show?
I do sometimes, Joe, because I'm running late to work because of sleep in.
It's not bad.
Because I got to be at work at 8, but sometimes I'm like, you know, 9:30 sounds cool too. So I jump in the car and I catch the great Joe Fisher, Schultzy, and every once in a while, Rashad.
Whoa, the man was sick. All right.
He had a tumor. A tumor.
Which, thank God, he got out of him and he's completely fine now.
Joe only says that because he likes his co-host, you know. My previous co-host got ALS, and I was like, whew, bullet dodged.
I don't think it's contagious.
I hope it's not contagious.
Wow, that would be rough.
That's why I got rid of him as soon as possible. It's like, I can't have you ruining everything else.
I don't even know where to go from there, but, anyways, your conversation, with Isaac, it was very contentious. I had to separate you two, and
too bad the YouTube stream wasn't going. Damn.
Yeah, my God.
Well, you know what's funny is I was having this conversation with a buddy earlier today, and I was saying it's like, yeah, it's funny, you know, like you run into somebody, and this voice, my voice, as my good friend Jason Sukanik always says, you know, he's very positive about my voice. Like, he thinks my voice is wonderful, and that's awesome. And thank you for that, Jason, wherever you may be. I know you're listening, P1.
He's not listening.
And I'll run into somebody, and they'll say, dude, your voice is awesome. You should be in radio.
I love that.
And I go, it's funny you say that. I am in radio. And they're like, oh, really? What do you do? Well, I work for 1080 The Fan. Oh, my God, I love 1080 The Fan. I listen to Isaac and Suk all the time. That's my show. My neighbor across the street, when I moved in, told me he's got it on in his garage at all times. They were like, what do you do? I was like, well, I host the Hot Corner at the time at Wednesdays from 7 to 9.
They're like, what's the Hot Corner?
They're like, I've never heard of that. You're like, my name's Patrick Harris. They're like, yeah, yep, nope. Doesn't resonate.
Yet.
You're like, cool, man. I've only been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
It's like that line in Major League, the movie. It's like, I didn't even know Cleveland still had a team. And Tom Berenger goes, yeah, we got uniforms and everything.
Yeah, we need
and
to,
that's how I feel.
We need to steal some of that commercial inventory. We need to weasel in some Hot Corner spots that no one will update for 6 months, and then they'll promptly stop playing.
and now I work at the restaurant, and we got this weird spot that you got to turn that's a blind, like a blind corner, and people will hold like food that they've just cooked that's hot that they need to take into the walk-in, and that's the area.
What are they
saying? And they'll walk up and they'll go, Hot Corner, Hot Corner. So they don't hurt anybody.
You're like, hey.
And I'm like, hey, 7 to 9 on Tuesdays.
You know, I went to your place of work last Friday, and you were nowhere to be seen.
What time?
Early afternoon.
Oh, I start at 3.
I think it was either 2 or 3 o'clock meeting. I had a skedaddle. I asked for you. And they were like, that guy? I was not greeted with a pleasant face after that.
They were like, that guy? Can you just ride out right now?
It was a stern eye roll and a huge sigh after that. He'll be in at 3.
Oh, Sharoner.
Yeah. So what's up? What's up?
What's up, guys? How are we?
You know,
guys, this is our last show.
I was gonna say, you know,
of
this,
the year.
You know, this is the last show.
Yeah.
At least in this iteration, our last combination, us three, this trio, will be together for the last time of this year.
2024. Adios, amigos.
But you and I, we're not done.
You and me?
No.
What do we got?
One more of you guys.
That's right.
Yeah, Friday the 27th.
We're going to sit in for the boys.
Which I'm already regretting. I am too.
I don't want to wake up at 5.
I thought about it. I think it was it was this morning at around 3:45. My girlfriend was having a coughing fit. And like one of those where it wakes you up and you almost move to the couch or you
She
tell
got some
them,
reflux issues? Because that's my coughing fit when I wake up.
No, she's just sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's just gross right now.
She's just disgusting.
Yeah, just sneezing, coughing, all raspy. She sounds like you somewhat.
Oof.
Yeah.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's hot.
I'd hit that.
But yeah, 3:45 is when this started happening this morning, and there was a quick thought that passed into my brain where I'm like,
this
I'm
going
to have to gonna be up at this time in 2 Fridays from now, and I'm not okay with that.
It's the truth. I love the boys so much. I love them. I listen to their show all the time because Monday, Tuesday, I go to work and during the time of their show, and traffic is brutal. So I get to put them on and I get to listen to them and I love their show. And then half the time I come into the office and I put on their 6 to 8 time to listen because I think their show is great. And I think because of that, I get it so excited. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to do their show. And you're like, yeah, this is going to be so great. This show's awesome. And you got to get up at 4:45.
I remember the last time I did their show, I filled in. It was when Daddy Dirt was on his break after he had his kid. And I went to a concert the night before.
Oof.
Was this a very loud concert or like one of those like more
chill?
It was
the Fallout Boy.
You went to Fallout Boy. You took Medium Joe.
That's right. Yeah, and I didn't get home until like 11.
Because that was a great show. That was a lot. What did it take about 9:10, 9:11 until Fallout Boy took the stage? But it was a good show.
It was, yeah. And that sucked. And that was the last time I had to do that morning shift was then. So, I thought about it this morning. I was just like, oh, my God. That is, I don't know why I accepted that. But, you know, it'll be fun.
The worst part about doing the morning show for me is that I know I'm going into it. So at about 7 o'clock, I kind of sit down and I start to kind of write the show. Okay. And I did it a lot during COVID and Swag was out and cause Summer of Swag kind of stuff. And so there'd be like a Monday night football game on. So you could kind of start to build your show, but you're also kind of watching a game. And it was a really cool way to build a show.
Maybe you have the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl on the TV.
Yeah, and you're just kind of like, oh, okay, all right. Well, you know, I want to do this at 15 and this at 7 and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then what I would do, because I know how to get myself to sleep, is I start and drinking a bunch of beer.
Can
and
you make
I'm
that
like,
sound one more time, please? There you go.
And, you know, it's like, I put a little ganja in me, put a little booze in me, and I'm going to be asleep like that. And then I'm in my bed at 11:30, just drunk and high, being like, why can't I go to sleep?
Just cross-faded. You sound like a 19-year-old.
And I can't go to sleep.
You say, back in college, are you, huh?
But tonight, I could go home and be asleep by 9:45.
Yeah.
But it's like a Christmas thing. You know, it's like Christmas is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to do this show tomorrow that I can't go to bed. I'm just hammered.
Yeah, it's not so much Sunday scaries, it's Dirt and Sprague scaries.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's definitely been a few times when I was like doing in the fill and producing too, where I was just like, all right, I know I have the show tomorrow. I have my 18 alarms set.
Yep.
And
you don't want to be a Crawford.
Do I have everything ready? Do I know what I'm going to do? A Crawford? You don't want to be me. I didn't tell you about two Sundays
ago. Wreck? The car wreck?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day? That's my favorite story.
Not mine. but no, just two Sundays ago, we didn't see the memo about an 8 a.m. show. And so that show started at 8:30.
Sacramento, I'm sure, was listening.
Oh, he didn't say a thing.
Yeah, we didn't hear, thank goodness, from anybody about that.
I bet on it. I said after the show, I was like, I bet you he doesn't say anything. And I saw him the next day, not a word.
Yeah, what up, Joe? Good haircut. Hey. You look good today.
Liked your first hour.
Joe Fisher. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, not a peep.
You got first and last named? Ah, Joe Fisher, and you're like, oh my God, I'm toast. I'm toast. He's got me. I like that shirt you're wearing.
So good.
We're in the clear. We're good. Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have your final hot corner, true hot corner edition for 2024. We'll do that today. And I'll tell you what, my friends, the baseball gods have shined on us. For I've been stacking some like little cool kind of minuscule baseball stuff to talk about. And I was ready to kind of get into that a little bit today. Not all of them, but a few of them. And the baseball gods were like, you know what, man? Why don't you just mail it in? And that's what we got. We got a mail-in show. This is going to be the easiest show in the entire life. My friends, are you familiar with the fact that the north side of Chicago has a baseball team?
Barely, but yes.
Yeah, I hear they got a pretty cool field.
Yeah. It's been around for a long time.
The Northwestern football plays there.
It's so real sad. Cool. So we would like to dedicate this show to the baseball gods and old Wrigley himself. When we come back, there's a lot to get to. The Cubs are the strangest team I've ever seen in my life. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
719 Portland sports leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Mavis Staples on the tune. God, I love her. I've seen her live. She sat in with Dave Matthews one time at the Gorge.
Oh, you are lucky. That's awesome.
I love Mavis Staples.
Mavis Staples. That's the lady who sings
Mavis.
This.
Yeah.
Mavis.
Mavis.
Cool.
I saw this really cool benefit concert with Mavis Staples and Nathaniel Rateliff. Was playing, and
I feel like you're just making up names.
And he brought out Mavis Staples, and he's on the mic, and she's got a mic, and he's like, "I'm so, you know, he's like, I'm so happy to be doing this tune with you." And she goes, "Yeah, what are we doing?" And he goes, "We're going to do this song. Your daddy wrote it." And she looked at him, and she goes, "I know who wrote the song." And I loved it because Nathaniel Rateliff is like, he's a rock star, like he's a big time guy. And he was just trying to say, like, yeah, we're going to do this song. Your daddy wrote this song. She was like, don't you tell me who wrote this song. Shut up. I know who wrote it.
Well, now that you said the Nathaniel Rateliff name a couple times now, I feel like I have heard that somewhere.
Oh, he wrote the big song you would know is Son of a Bitch.
Oh, wow.
He wrote that song. That song is wild.
Kiss Your Mother With That Mouth?
It's fun. I do kiss my mother with that mouth. On the lips.
S-O-B.
S-O-B.
Also concerning that song, it definitely took me a second watch of Christmas Vacation to be like, all right, this movie's pretty damn funny.
That movie slaps.
The first one I was just like, eh.
It's the best vacation movie.
It's all right.
Oh yeah, hands down.
I love the first, and I got a soft spot for Vegas. Plus European, first time I saw boobs on TV.
I was going to say, yeah, that is a formative moment for everybody.
First time I saw up tops.
Airplane. That was the first time I had seen up tops in a movie.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Oh, I was going to say when the plane's crashing and everybody's freaking out and then some chick just runs in front of the camera, just topless, and then runs off out of nowhere.
You're like,
isn't that a rated R movie too?
No, oh. Dude, it was like rated like PG. It was before they had like PG. It was before
like
they
real
had
ratings.
It was before they had PG-13 and it came out in the late 70s and it was just like, there was no F-bombs, you know, it's like,
right.
They're like, well, I don't know.
But up tops were like, yo, we just got out of the 60s, yeah. Up tops are normal.
We're cool. We're fine
we're cool
here.
With this.
Yeah. Captain Ron, I think that was a PG-13 movie, what, 94, 95
something
is when
like
it came
that,
out,
yeah.
Kurt Russell, but it was when the wife was in the shower on the ship, and you could see a very clear view, and I'm like, oh, hello, Jordan just became a man.
Things are moving.
They try to take the bath, like, or it's a shower, but it fills up, right?
It's not quite that. Yeah, I think it's like the beginning of that scene, but like he hadn't gotten in with her yet. It's just her in there, and you know, water's flying, and it looks great.
Captain Ron.
There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford that you should write before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Guilty as charged. Got a Ford Bronco in the parking lot, Bronco Sport that I got from those guys. And I'll tell you what, they keep taking care of me just like they'll take care of you. On the text line, hi, your voice. I heard you at Goose this summer and was like, Hot Corner, voice made for radio, and I knew the show. So thank you, my friend. I do
remember.
I do remember that interaction. My wife and I were at a Goose show at Edgefield, because Goose is, you know, one of my all-time favorite bands. And we were walking, and we were just having a conversation, and this guy stopped me and said, hey, Hot Corner? And I went, hey, I'm here for Goose.
Get your hands off me.
Thanks for listening.
Get the F away from me, weirdo.
Don't talk to me right now.
Yes.
I know I'm more famous than anybody else on this station.
And to confirm,
if you're a jam band fan, you're going to see me at shows.
Text line did let me know Airplane was 1980, but I am here to confirm that it does have a PG rating.
That's love it.
Awesome.
Love it. With up tops.
With up tops in that movie. Yes.
All right, let's get into some baseball here, my friends. And as we teased going into this, the baseball gods have gifted us with a lot of love. Okay?
I feel like this is the latest we've gotten to post, like, season, like after the World Series, where we haven't talked about other sports.
Yeah.
Like, usually we're truth. Like talking about bowl games or like, college football.
Mahomes
or
high
NFL.
Ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Or,
no.
Yeah, Pittsburgh at Baltimore this weekend.
It has been baseball the entire time.
It has.
I like this. I like this stuff that's going on.
I like this too. And what's funny is I had this written down as something that I just didn't understand. Like, reading things and listening to stuff, I was kind of saying to myself, what the hell are the Chicago Cubs doing? They want to move Bellinger. They want to move Suzuki, or one of the two. They kind of seem like they're trying to payroll dump and maybe lean on their young kids like they're building. And then they drop the bomb and trade for Kyle Tucker. The best right fielder in baseball? Question mark. I mean, Juan Soto's the better hitter, but...
Well, I guess it might be Judge now that he's moving over to
Ray. We'll get to that, yeah. Too. But it's like, all of a sudden, the Cubs, you know, all I'm reading is that they want to dump Bellinger's contract.
After just giving him a
contract. That contract. Or if they can't move Bellinger, they're willing to move Seiya Suzuki, who I think is their best player. And so you're kind of like, what is going on with the Cubs? I found this franchise so strange. Like, I didn't know. Remember last year, when we previewed divisions, we were looking at the Central, and I think both of us were like, the Cubs, we really like this. We really like this team. We like the rotation. We like the players. We like that the Central is kind of, there's no dominant team. And the Brewers take off, and you're like, whoa, oh, I guess we were super wrong. And so then the offseason comes, and they're like, yeah, we're looking to get rid of our high-priced guys. You're like, okay, the Cubs are going backwards. They're going backwards. But they're not. They're going forward.
Well, and even at the trade deadline, we didn't know what the hell they wanted to do.
Exactly. They got Isak Paredes, but they didn't want to win.
But they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, again, we didn't know exactly what they wanted to do. And it was, I feel like when we approached the trade deadline, they're like, listen, if we know we're like out of it by then we'll start making moves to dump salary, get rid of some of these guys. But they weren't exactly totally out of it.
But then they traded for a guy who was an upgrade.
Yes, exactly. It's just like, why?
I was listening to I was listening to Cowherd yesterday.
I'm sorry.
And he was talking about how the Philadelphia Eagles are the strangest team in the world.
No, I heard that bit, and yeah, he's kind of right about
it. It's
that.
A decent bit. Like, he's totally right about it. Like, this team is dysfunctional, like they're, I think he says, the Titans or the Panthers. You know, but they're steamrolling teams. And I kind of feel the Cubs are kind of like this now. Like, what the hell are you guys trying to do?
We'll
get into their moves in a minute, but like, I don't understand where they want to go.
Well, you don't go after a player like Kyle Tucker if you don't think that you are on the precipice of being a winning team, a team that can compete for the division and be a contender in the National League, which you're not. Like, you look at not just the Dodgers, but you obviously look at the Padres, too, who are looking to be one of the best teams. You now look at the Mets, who are coming off of an NLCS appearance and just got the quote-unquote best free agent in baseball. I was about to say best player, but he's not. Best free agent in baseball. Yeah, it's like, do you really think you're that close to
those
other teams?
We are ready to trade Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki, our two best players. But while we do that, we'd also like to acquire a rental of Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, that's the
I
other,
don't get it. I don't get it.
That's the other part, is that his contract is done after this season.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
I don't know either. So let's just dive into it, okay? Let's just get into it. The Cubs trade for Kyle Tucker. What does this mean for them? We'll save Cody for a minute. What does Kyle Tucker mean for the Cubs, and what is their actual goal? We'll do all that next on the Hot Corner. But first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports. All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into the Yankees. Didn't have them on my show bingo sheet today.
Those poor, poor Yankees, man, not getting Soto.
Not getting Soto. And
what are they going to do?
How sad. What are they going to do? So we'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour, plus we'll have fair or foul at the bottom of it. But we're talking about the Cubs. I mean, like, this is a Cubs show today. Like, let's be real here. And the Cubs, you know, as we were talking about last segment, they're looking to offload Cody Bellinger's contract. They're potentially willing to move Seiya Suzuki because they know they can probably get a lot for him. I mean, I think Seiya's their best player. I do. I mean, he's below average in right, but as far as what he does at the dish, like, he's probably their best player to go along with, yeah, the Ian Happs of the world, the Wisdoms of the world, and the PCAs of the world and stuff like that, along with a pitching staff that's not too shabby.
Again, this is where it's like, do the Cubs think they're closer than we think?
And I think that's what it is. I think they think they are closer than they are, and that's why they send Isak Paredes and some of their top prospects to Houston for a rental in Kyle Tucker. I mean, is Kyle Tucker the best right fielder in baseball? I mean, I know Soto plays in right, and Soto is a better hitter than Tucker, but as far as a full-on right fielder?
I mean, if he were best defensively, he'd be in right and Judge would be in left. You usually put your least valuable defensive player in left field. That's where Soto's going. So, I mean, no.
I think the only player in right field that's better than Kyle Tucker is Mookie Betts.
Who's going to be playing second next year?
I think he's going to be playing short.
I was going to say,
yeah, there you go, infield. Yeah, short.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, possibly short, maybe center field. Who knows? Yeah. Put him wherever. He'll be fine.
And Bryce Harper was great in right for a long time, and they moved him to first after the Tommy John on his elbow. Like, Kyle Tucker might be the best all-around right fielder in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, again, as far as who's going to play the most in right field, because like you mentioned, it's like Mookie Betts. Who knows where he's going to play next year, wherever they need him to. And then, as you mentioned, Bryce moving to first. So
where does Acuna play?
Right.
Acuna plays
so
in right.
That'd like be the only other one, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I would listen to that because Acuna at the dish is phenomenal.
Yeah. And again, I know you wanted to get into it, I don't know if now or later, but as far as the person who's now moving over to the right field for the New York Yankees, I mean, that would probably be your other competition.
That's true. He is great in right. And we will get to the Yankees at the top of the 8 o'clock hour and what's going on and stick with this Cubs-themed show. But let me ask, what do the Cubs look like right now? And I know we're kind of waiting to talk about this Bellinger thing, and obviously we will get to that. But Kyle Tucker in Chicago, you don't send a full-blown starter in Isak Paredes and two of your best prospects to Houston for Kyle Tucker if you don't think you got a shot at this.
I'm looking at their depth chart right now as far as what it stands like currently. I mean, in right, you got Kyle Tucker. Center, you got Pete Crow Armstrong, which
PCA is a solid up-and-coming player.
Yeah, and hopefully he's just going to get better and better. Ian Happ in left.
Ian Happ was a top 40 fantasy baseball player last year. I had him on my team, and he was a big reason why my team was okay.
Your middle infield's going to be Dansby, Nico Horner, third base. I don't know what they're going to do right now because at this moment in time, it's a dude named Miles Mastrobuoni.
And that's where Isak played.
And Michael Bush, first base, who was a great addition for them. And then catcher Miguel Amaya. And then their pitching staff of Steele and Shota. And then Jameson Taillon.
And that's a pretty solid 1-2-3. So the Cubs must be looking at it as addition by subtraction. Let's get Bellinger's money off the books Esoc had a really brutal second half in Chicago last year.
And throw in Seiya on that. I mean,
right. Seiya Suzuki is going to probably be your DH.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Esoc had a really rough second half. He was really good in Tampa. When he got to Chicago, what I saw and what I think Chicago saw by the fact that they traded him, I don't think he wanted to be there. I don't think he wanted to be in Chicago. He didn't have a great second half.
Well, and also, I mean, if he wanted to be in Chicago, don't you think that the deal that he signed with them would have gotten done way earlier in the offseason last year? I feel like that's kind of an indicator, too. It's like, all right, your heart's not really here. Now, granted, the last offseason was really weird for a lot of players. But I think that's an indicator, too, where it's like, okay, if you really wanted to be here, we could have probably worked this out a lot sooner in the offseason and got you into camp and, you know, had you locked up for a longer-term contract as well. I think those are some red flags there as far as him not wanting to be there.
Is the Kyle Tucker upgrade over Cody Bellinger enough to put them in the running for the Central, let alone the World Series, just the Central? Is that upgrade that big? Because that's what I think they're banking on. I think they're banking on, we got to get one of these payrolls off the books, but if we want to compete this year, and I do think they will take a run at Kyle Tucker to re-sign him. I think they probably look at him and identify him as a player that, yes, this guy fits us. I mean, he checks all the boxes. Is Kyle Tucker a big enough upgrade over Cody Bellinger? Not, we'll take out cost and contracts and all that stuff, but on the field, is he a big enough upgrade that the Cubs can make a play next year?
I think so. Obviously, as long as you have him for a full season, which besides
assuming he doesn't get hit by a baseball in his ankle and is out for 3 months.
Yeah. And besides last year, the dude had played 150, 160. Like, he has played a lot. So I don't think a shin injury is something where you're like, oh, we'll see about his long term health, you know?
Right.
And he's younger than Bellinger, but not by a lot, 27 versus 29. I think as far as fielding and consistent hitting goes, yes, it's a major upgrade. The question is that how much worse is the division winner going to get? And granted, again, we're going to get to it in the show once again, but they lost their closer. Is there any more moves on their right? They lost Frankie Montas.
Yep. He's a Met.
And so
Devin Williams is a Yankee.
So maybe they see it as like,
probably your two best arms.
Maybe they see this as an opportunity to strike and close the gap.
Craig Counsell's the manager. He knows what's up in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Now, granted, you know, Pat Murphy had a great first season coming from the bench coach.
NL manager of the year.
Yeah. So whether or not it is a definite upgrade. To answer your question, yes, I believe that is a upgrade. Cody Bellinger is a good player. He's not an MVP like he was, but like, God, and of course, like Bossman Cooley, he comes by earlier today and he's like,
hey.
I don't know, is Cody Bellinger, is that even someone you want right now? I'm like, yeah, I would hate to have a former MVP.
Oh, I'd be so mad. Yeah. Let me tell you what, Mariner fans are real mad that Cody didn't come to them.
So, but even, it's funny though, because yeah, he's a former MVP. Kyle Tucker is not, but if you give me the choice, I am taking Kyle Tucker.
I watch baseball. Yeah, I'm taking Kyle Tucker.
10 times out of 10,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
So, a definite upgrade. And yeah, maybe they just smell blood in the water and they feel like, hey, last year was not our year. We've made some moves though to bolster this. I mean, you basically turned Christopher Morel into Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty much what you did.
That's more than pretty good. That's
you
really
sent Morel. And at the end, you got Kyle Tucker.
And I like Christopher Morel. I think he's got some swagger.
I think he's okay.
To him.
He's, yeah. But I like Esoc Paredes a lot. I think he's a really great, versatile infielder. I think he's fantastic.
But I love Kyle Tucker.
But I love Kyle Tucker.
That dude's, he, again, I hope that we get a full 162 or 155, whatever. I have him sit a couple days. I don't care. But I hope that we have a full season out of him because he's good for baseball.
And I think we will. And that's why I want to get to next, Kyle Tucker's former team. We're talking about confusing teams. Okay. Houston trading Kyle Tucker makes me scratch my head a little bit. And I'd like to dive into that next. We'll do it. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Shout out Brenda Lee. This is an all-timer for me.
Another made-up name.
Number one.
Another made-up name. These people aren't real.
Did you know that this girl was 13 when she recorded
this?
Yes,
I do.
I had no idea.
It's mind-blowing.
It sounds like an old lady, like a 60-year-old woman on the mic doing this song.
Someone said that in the sales pit the other day about the I Want a Hippopotamus song.
Oh, yeah.
God. And they were like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the person who sang this was like 60, and I was like, really?
No,
and
that
I,
was a kid.
I looked it up, yeah, and I was like, she was like 9, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, really? And I was like, yeah, it sounds like a 9-year-old singing a song.
I'd like to throw out a shout out to somebody who's clearly doing more above and beyond what they should be doing, and that's our producer Jordan Schultz.
Appreciate
over there
you. With the Christmas
on the
music?
Ones and twos, throwing the Christmas music on today.
I can't help myself.
I'm glad you can't help yourself.
I appreciate that.
I have been cast off the island over in the sales pit because I love Christmas music.
Oh, and they all hate it. Kurt's all like, yeah, I'd rather get blacked out.
Kurt's not about it.
I mean, I would too, but two Christmas music.
I like to get blacked out to Christmas music, Kurt. I'll meet you in the middle.
Promotions girl, Elizabeth. She's great, but she's not a fan of Christmas music.
Oh,
and,
come on.
By the way, turn into 97.1 Charlie FM for your Christmas hits locally.
Yes. Well, they do not want to tune into Charlie like I do. They want to tune into KGON, and that's what's been playing the last week or so. I don't know how much Def Leppard you can listen to before saying, let's switch this up and get some Christmas music going,
please. I'll tell you what, if Def Leppard's playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
fooling.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm pretty sure that the song that whoever brought that up about the hippopotamus song said it was a kid or said it was an adult and it's actually a kid. I think they're thinking of All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Because that was an adult. And they, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. It's like, no, that's obviously like a man and they're sounding like a kid. I bet you that's what they were referring to.
Fun story about the I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, because it was like made in the 60s. They thought, let's give that girl a hippopotamus. And I think she was like from Oklahoma, and the local zoo did like a fundraiser to actually get her a hippopotamus. And they did.
Oh my God.
And then I'm sure shortly after that, they realized having a hippopotamus as a pet was not a good idea.
Or it died.
Yeah, the pet hippopotamus passed away.
But hey, I mean, listen, we all love Mudang, right? I mean,
Harambe, R.I.P.
Can you blame them for wanting to get her a baby hippopotamus? But, yeah, they ended up donating that hippo to the local zoo or something like that.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into the Yankees. And I didn't have them. I didn't have them. I didn't have it on my bingo sheet today. But we'll get to the Yankees at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, plus fair or foul, everybody's favorite at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. But to wrap up this kind of Kyle Tucker story, you know, As I've talked about for the last 45 minutes, the Cubs are very strange to me right now. It's very strange, but in like a good way, like an entertaining way. Like, what are you guys doing? You seem like you're thinking outside of the box. The Astros, on the other hand, I could not disagree more with what's going on down there. And this is why. You've decided to trade Kyle Tucker, your homegrown, in theory, best player on your team. Yordan Alvarez has something to say about that. But your best player in Kyle Tucker, meanwhile, because you trade him because you're afraid you can't afford to re-sign him. Meanwhile, you're throwing money at Jose Altuve, and now you're trying to throw money at Alex Bregman. In my opinion, this is so weird to me. I would let Bregman walk, and I would give Kyle Tucker the bag. And they're doing the opposite. You know, there are reports that Houston's going to listen to offers for Framber Valdez. And it's, you want Alex Bregman, but you're willing to deal Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez? The Astros, to me, I saw all these memes on Reddit and a bunch of different stuff where the American League West is just firing pistols in the air and celebrating like the England team just won the World Cup. Like, everybody's excited because Houston, I feel like they're too brand loyal to the back of the name instead of what's the future of the team.
It's been a
You're gonna choose Bregman over Tucker?
Yeah, it's now granted if there is a franchise that I put some faith in being able to grow their farm system and their younger talent and guys that we've never even heard of into being star players for them, the Houston Astros are kind of up there.
I agree. I agree completely.
So there's part of me where maybe it's also, I don't know that. Like, I don't know what players they have in the back end where they're like, listen, we're not going to be able to afford Bregman and Tucker. Maybe we can do a bit of a reset. But also, it is kind of weird. It's like, all right, you've also, like, you've gotten rid of Correa. Mm-hmm. You've gotten rid of Springer. So it's like, who are you saving this money? And then, yeah, now you might get rid of Framber.
Garrett Cole's gone.
So I don't get exactly, all right, well, who are you saving this money for? Like, are you trying to get someone in next year's free agency? I don't even know who's available then. It is very odd that you have one of the best players in baseball on your roster who I think any team would be like, yeah, I'll sign him to a 7-year deal.
And I would think that...
And I'm not talking about Bregman. I'm talking about Tucker. Like, that's the... If I had to choose between the two, I'd pay Tucker versus Bregman.
Again, I would think throughout the season, like, Houston has clearly valued Tucker. They have clearly shown in the way they play him, where he bats in the lineup, et cetera, that you are our future cornerstone. You and Yordan Alvarez are going to be what gets us through an aging Bregman and Altuve. You know, like you said, we let Correa go, but we had Jeremy Pena, World Series MVP Jeremy Pena,
yep.
Who has not, he has not been the Carlos Correa substitute they thought, but he's a player. He can play. I just find it fascinating that I'm so scared about Kyle Tucker's free agency deal that I'm going to ship him out to try to double down on an older Alex Bregman, who I think is going to get overpaid. Alex Bregman's contract to me looks like Anthony Rendon. It looks like,
oh, God.
It looks like Robinson Cano. It looks like a guy that has maybe 2 years left in him of being elite, but you're going to pay him for 8, 10. I don't get what Houston's doing. And if you're an Angels fan, a Rangers fan, an A's fan, or a Mariner fan, you got to love this, in my opinion. Well, you got to love this.
As a Mariners fan, it's the one team that doesn't seem like it's getting better because the A's surprisingly have gotten better. The Angels surprisingly have gotten better.
It's like, and Texas has guys.
Yeah, it's like anytime the Mariners have a semblance of a chance, it seems to happen this way. But
it's like Mariners, sorry, I'll let you go in a second. But it's like Mariners are kind of on this fence of, is it worth going after Bregman? He's our enemy, but we could really use a third baseman of his caliber to then see what's going on with Tucker gone and potentially Valdez gone, and they're going to put all their money in Bregman. You're kind of sitting there as a Mariner fan going, have him. I don't want that. Have him.
I mean, I hate Alex Bregman. The idea of Pete Alonso in a Mariner uniform using that money, if they were to spend money, that's the better idea to me. But
sure.
Beyond being a Mariners fan, just looking at what the Astros are doing here, you kind of wonder if Houston maybe thinks that they know something about Kyle Tucker. Because remember, he did, it was a shin fracture, what, in June?
That's
that
all
he
it was.
Went down
the ball
with.
Bounced off, hit his shin, and then he was out for two and a half months.
And then he had a great September. But you look at the game log a little bit, of that number was boosted by like three really good games where he went 4-for-5, 4-for-5, and 3-of-5. So I'm wondering if the Astros are looking at this here, and I don't know what's going on in the locker room either in Chicago with Cody Bellinger, and if Craig Counsell just wanted Bellinger the F out and it's just like, this isn't working. We need to get a new clubhouse guy in here, because there are so many things that we don't know about working behind the scenes, and they may, you know, Counsell's first season in Chicago, they may not have worked. They may not have gotten along. And that happening at the same time as the Astros saying, hey, let's get out on a 27-year-old Kyle Tucker, who is only 3 years younger than Alex Bregman at 30 years old right now. Maybe we can get out on Kyle Tucker when his value's the highest. And maybe
I mean,
not.
It is.
Exactly.
They got two massive prospects from the Cubs.
And you don't have to pay for him in free agency like you would to try to have to get Alex Bregman back. So
and I think Kyle Tucker's going to get a Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Bryce Harper kind of deal. He's going to get 10 years, 400 mil.
And add to the fact that he is open to, as of an hour ago, just saw a couple of different articles saying Kyle Tucker is very open to signing an extension in Chicago. Sounded like Houston, Kyle Tucker not necessarily working out.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at this Houston team then, I mean, Isak Paredes is going to be your third baseman. You'll have Peña at shortstop, Altuve at second. So then trying to figure out what you do.
Well, you could put Isak at first if you re-sign Bregman.
Well, again,
that's our problem. Are we walking into the San Diego Padres?
I don't know.
You got five shortstops?
I don't know.
Is that what we're doing here?
There's part of me that thinks that Bregman's long gone.
I think he's gone too.
And that's where I'm already like, well, you got Paredes at third. You got
phone buzzed me today that the Mets are interested in Bregman. We're just doing Dodgers East.
Not surprised.
Is that what we're doing?
Cohen will outpay anybody.
But you could be right. It's like maybe they go after another third baseman and then they move Paredes. But again, it's like if you have Bregman, maybe they just don't want to fork over $200 million for him.
Because he's going to cost a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So
let me ask you this question, a little early, fair or foul.
Maybe they snag themselves some Nolan Arenado.
Kind of style.
Make a little move for him.
Is Alex Bregman worth what he's asking? And I don't know the numbers, but whatever it is.
Let me see if I can find it.
You know, whatever it is Alex Bregman, I feel like over the last few weeks, Alex Bregman has become a less sexy candidate. Like, you cost too much, bro. You know, I might rather trade for Nolan Arenado, who's kind of washed at the plate, but not in the field. And because the Cardinals are going to have to pay part of Arenado's contract. So if you trade for him, you're going to get a good deal. Is that a better route than paying $200 million? For Alex Bregman?
Now, this was back in November, late part of November, that Ken Rosenthal said, quote, I suspect that Bregman and his agent Scott Boras are aiming higher, specifically at a deal closer to the 11-year, $350 million
is
extension.
Is he worth that?
Manny Machado signed with the Padres in February.
Is he worth that?
No.
Robinson Cano was barely worth the $10,250 that were signed, now a decade ago.
Right.
Come on.
Is Alex Bregman worth 10 years, 300 mil?
No.
Would you rather have Machado at third or Bregman?
Machado.
Because at least I'm going to be able to get
that
a bit more power.
That was so fast. Yeah. Well, that was so fast, boys.
The clubhouse skill, too. The ability to coach younger players.
I mean Manny has a really great clubhouse atmosphere kind of aspect to him. I do agree with that. And that you can't put a... You can't put a dollar value on that.
The Astros offered Bregman a 6-year deal worth around $156, a source told MLB.com last week.
And he wants 10 years, 300.
Yeah.
Maybe the Yankees sign him.
I mean, 6 years at 20, what, 5-ish, 26-ish?
Bregman is believed to be seeking a deal closer to 200 mil. Which
he wants 30 a year. Yeah. He wants 30 a year.
He's not worth that.
Well, let's talk about the team that might be willing to sign him. They need a third baseman, but I'll tell you what.
I was just going to say one fun fact about the Astros. They have never offered more than 5 years to a free agent under Jim Crane, and the biggest deal he's given to any player
was Alex Bregman.
It was the Jose Altuve deal, 151.
But remember, they already, like, Alex Bregman's already got a deal. He got one of those Acuna, Albies, Tatis kind of deals, like, you're a kid, let's pay you now, and then someone else is going to pay you when you're washed. Right? Didn't that already go down? I don't know.
Trying to get the answer.
I don't know. And when we come back, Bregman is clearly a candidate to play third base in New York. New York needs a third baseman. Which team, do you ask? Well, that might be both. And we'll do that next. Loaded second hour, plus fair or foul, everyone's favorite. Don't go anywhere. 1080 The Fan.